Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who could put all these logos in order. Of course, I'm Rob Cicerino. Welcome back. We're Survivor of the Amazon. They could have stuck that in there. It wouldn't have killed them. I'm so excited to be here live after the episode here with somebody who I hope can explain what the hell happened here tonight. Kelly Nalbandian. Kelly, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Rob. What a crazy episode. What the hell, guys?
I know. I thought it was a crazy episode. I really was very convinced that, Ben, well, he seemed like such a nice guy, but I guess they wanted to give him his flowers and play all of his sound bites and confessionals before he went out before the merge. And then, no, lo and behold, it was Jem. I was stunned.
Really? Oh, I can't wait to get into it more. But such a fun episode. Survivor is like back, baby. Let's go.
Okay, we're back. What, in post-Banu, we're back?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's just a different vibe, right? We appreciate everyone's contributions to Survivor Society. But yes. I love this episode, and I'm super excited I get this one, you know, digging into the Suga tribe.
Really excited to have you here, and we're going to take your questions here in the chat. If you're watching us live, go ahead and post away. We'll get to them later on in the show. Tomorrow, I will have an exit interview with Jem. Looking forward to asking her a lot of questions, a lot about the Beware advantage, and ultimately whether or not that did help or hurt her game. And then also, Stephen Fishback will be back for Survivor Know-It-Alls a little bit of a later time. I'm going to be on the road driving tomorrow. So Know-It-Alls, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern live. A little bit later than normal, 4 p.m. for Survivor Know-It-Alls. Okay, so Kelly, this is a great opportunity to talk to you just coming off of Survivor 45. I mean, they could have thrown a couple of seasons from the 40s in to help out Hunter tonight. That it wouldn't have killed them to put Survivor 45 in there for him. It would have helped.
I know. I mean, can hunters still count several days in with eating no food?
Several. Question. Yes.
Several. That was not even intentional. Jelinski is here. He's just, you know.
He's always with us. Jelinski's always with us. Yeah, all right. But let me get your take on Jem, because I really was very surprised, ultimately, that it was Jem tonight. I really thought it seemed like, okay, well, this is like a whole dog and pony show that Maria is going to side with the women. Yeah. I did not even think that it was an option that she was going to. I'm like, Charlie is going to try, but ultimately, mm-hmm. I don't think Charlie has the agency. I think that Maria calls the shots in this duo, and I think that Maria is going to side with the women. And we saw, I felt like that that perspective more throughout this episode than we did that potentially Maria was going to be siding with the Tim and Ben side of Sega.
Yeah, it definitely looked that way from Maria's perspective. So I was kind of shocked in terms of that Maria ended up not only doing that vote, but also using her extra vote. Like, she basically burned it.
Really wanted Jem out.
She felt passionately enough to do that. So, you know, I think we, like, the editors like to blindside us along with the blindsided player yes. as much as they can. And that might be a little bit why. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, but I really like Jem, and I think she had so much upside. I do think there was just a little bit of overplaying that was going on. And so I wasn't quite as shocked by the outcome just because of that. But I think Charlie might have a little bit more swing and say than we really realize. I think he's playing like a really good subtle game. So I'm very excited.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So tell me, with everything going on with Jem and the Beware advantage. Okay. I felt like that last week, I'm like, I don't really get the point of what she's doing. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people loved it. And she's like, hey, you got to have fun when you're on Survivor. What are you even doing if you're not hiding the Beware advantage? But is it possible that could there be an alternate reading of this episode where, boy, that Jem re-hid the Beware advantage, and maybe people felt like that she was acting very sus?
Yeah. I mean, when I watched that last week, like, I love the idea of trying to use Beware advantages or different like mechanics of the game in a unique and new way when you come play. I think that's great, because you can't surprise people with things in Survivor as much anymore. Like, the same types of votes have happened. Everyone's done this, but that's a new mechanic. I think that's great. But this Beware advantage does not lend itself well to being replanted, because if you don't have anything under there, like, they're going to keep digging and no one's ever going to find anything. So I didn't really understand the upside of doing that, other than, okay, maybe it's theoretically not her. I just think it's bringing more like lights and sirens to the problem versus, like, if you want to keep it a secret, which I think is great, do that versus replanting it and causing this. Cause now if people figure it out, they're going to be like, wow, this girl's playing hard. Wow, she's willing to pull a fast one on everybody. Like, she didn't tell anyone about this. It's a bit of a risky move. And so I think when you're doing stuff like this, you got to look at the upside versus the fun side.
Yeah.
And it might be a little itchiness to play.
And I don't want to make it feel like I'm picking on Jem, because I had the same criticism in Survivor 44 when Danny got into the birdcage, mm-hmm. right? And then he took the idol, and then he put the fake idol back in there, and it was like, ha ha ha. Now I'm going to lead Matt Blankenship to the idol. But why? Like, I get it. Like, okay, we're having fun and we're messing with people, and like, that makes for good TV.
100%.
It's like, well, what's the end game? Where are you going with this? And that's what I felt like with Jem all along. I'm like, you know, it didn't really see it. You know, we had Mariah kind of say, well, maybe it was Tim, and they sort of presented it to Maria, but it didn't seem like that by this episode that many people felt like, okay, Tim, that I guess there was a concern maybe Tim had the idol. So I feel like we didn't get a clear picture whether or not they really believed that it was Tim, or maybe it turned back around on Jem.
Yeah. I don't think they made it clear to us on purpose, but I think like that kind of fell into last week. It kind of looked better for Jem because it was like, it kind of fell into her lap where they're like, oh, it's probably Tim. He's digging so hard. Like, mm-hmm. that worked out great. And it, like, you know, these things can have a lot of good momentum, and then it takes one small thing and then it goes the opposite direction, which is ultimately what happened for her tonight.
Yeah. And we saw her have a couple of rough conversations, I thought, in this episode, too. One with Tim earlier on, where Tim and maybe Tim, I think, came on too strong also when he pressed Jem about if she had the idol. But I thought that she did not come across as an innocent person in that scenario. And then another one with Ben, when she was really going to Ben and
she had the machete in her way.
Yeah. So who are you voting for tonight? Ben?
And then Ben's like, I got to get a hammer. I got to hold my space. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
There's truth to that, though. You know what I mean? Like the energy you come in with. Ben's like, I got to hold my space because Jem has the machete. But it's not just the machete. It's also like the vibe of which she's approaching the conversation with. It was a little bit more like aggressive and, you know, confrontational. Mm-hmm. I think Ben even said that word. So it does make sense that Ben's like, you know what, here, okay, I'm going to hold my space and it's kind of like a Western standoff kind of thing.
Yes.
You know,
something else she did, Kelly, after they came back from losing the immunity challenge, she's like, I think we all need to go hunt for idols.
Yeah. That was weird. That was suspicious.
Yeah.
Why would you want everyone to hunt for idols all together before a tribal council? Now, listen, I do think that this beware advantage mechanic of like, you have to do it during the scramble sucks for Jem. Like that makes it super hard. You already have a pretty limited amount of time to do the strategizing. And now she has this super complicated equation and has to carry the machete around all day.
That was hard.
Hilarious.
I would still be there. So yeah, kudos to her for getting it. That's right.
Honestly. But I also was thinking like, you know, she's instead of strategizing or thinking about how am I going to convince people to do this? Like she's now spent potentially hours doing this task. And then maybe you get on this high of like, oh, I have this advantage. Like I'm running the game. I have this secret that nobody knows. And so you feel like you're on top of the world. And that can, you know, I think that's pretty common in New Era Survivor, especially in the early merge or even late or the early like pre-merge, that it's if you get a little bit too much momentum in that way, it bites you because you think you're in control. And unfortunately, you're not always in control, especially if you haven't really had all those conversations with people.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody articulate that before.
What do you mean?
Well, that in terms of like, okay, you get a little bit of a thing and then you sort of start to feel like you're like on a roll.
I felt that way because my advantage sucked, but
we'll get there tonight.
PTSD. But I think like in this case, like Jem has done all these like crafty things and she's like, I pulled it off. I did it at the last minute, like that timing of it too. But it's one of these things where like, yeah, the disadvantage of the beware is like, yeah, I'm losing my vote. But there's also this disadvantage of like, it's taking you out of the true game of Survivor. And that, you know, that makes it difficult because that time before tribal is so, so key. I think we saw how much this vote probably did flip flop for Charlie and Maria and how much all those little conversations meant in the end.
You know, this tribe, Sega, the story all through the pre-merge was Sega's the vibe tribe. They've got such good vibes and everything is lovey-dovey. And this was like kind of a vicious blindside against two different people, Mariah and Jem, in this group. And so I'm wondering, like, can they bounce back and continue to be the vibe tribe? Or is this like one of the like the tribes in the long history of Survivor that like looks good on paper, but then they hit a tribal council and that's it?
Yeah. I have a little bit more faith in Sega's ability to do that than Nami moving forward. That being said, I think I've talked about this before, like going to tribal council before the merge to me is critical. You have to go at least once or else no one has any lines in the sand, trust, et cetera. So they've alienated Mo here, but there is a core group who can get around this. The other thing I'm just thinking right now on the fly is like Jem now, if they figure out she did do this whole beware plant, blah, 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 they can kind of all be like, well, you know what? That was kind of crazy. It's okay.
And but how will they know? How will they ever figure it out?
They might not, but I think, I don't know. I think they can kind of assume that, but I do actually have a little bit of faith in Sega to do this. I think we're probably missing some of this, but the way that Charlie and Maria are playing, they've got to be doing an absolutely excellent job with Mariah. Because something that I noticed that really impressed me from Charlie is after they're telling him like, oh, we want to vote out Ben, and Mariah pulls him aside and is like, I know this is going to be so hard for you. Like, thanks for doing it. Like, the fact that she's even comfortable saying that to him is speaking to whatever Charlie is doing to make Mariah feel comfortable enough to say that is really like super powerful. So he must be playing great. So yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Charlie and Maria that, you know, they compared themselves earlier this season to the Malcolm and Denise, but in my mind, I thought they were more of the Kelly and Brando.
Oh, funny you should say that. I do feel like when I'm watching Charlie's confessionals, I have a little bit of like, oh, this sounds like me. So hopefully I'm not being too biased here in that way. But yeah, it's interesting for me to watch a New Era season with a very similar dynamic. The two people in the middle, you know, one guy, one girl, and which way they go. And they actually get to go to a tribal council and draw the line in the sand and see how it goes. So I think that, you know, it'll be a real asset for them moving forward. When you have a tribe like this that is wins for so long, and you kind of are playing, in my mind, like you play a more like traditional game of Survivor when you have all this time to just sort of like socially interact with each other without having to go to tribal. So I think you have players like Charlie and Maria who are like able to balance the social game and the strategic game really well, like kind of rise into this position more organically than like, you know, Yanu has had to like be scrambling and like playing immediately so hard. Mm-hmm. It's like a different hierarchy emerges that feels more like traditional Survivor to me, which I like. So,
well, Kelly, thinking back to your season, like you were the one season out of these six that had this tribe swap where I feel like that looking back at it and like what we're talking about now, like it seems like that the tribe swap really hurt you.
It did, for sure. I mean, I don't want to make this about me at all, but it is about you.
It is about you. You're here.
It's not. It's about 46.
What are the chances out of this?
I think people don't. What the hell, guys?
What the hell?
Taking out Brando was an insanely good move from Austin and Drew. Underrated move. I don't think I even realized at the time how much it was going to hurt me. But you really need that person. That is one of my takeaways from my experience. You need that person who not only you trust and like, but like you see the game in a similar way. You can like kind of bounce ideas off of strategically because you are running on empty here. Like I'm not firing at the same, you know, cylinders as I'm watching on the couch as I am out there and having someone like Brando or later on Caleb, all of them keep going away. I think you see this in Marie and Charlie that they are able to present both sides of the case and discuss it with each other and come up with the better decision eventually for them. Because I do think that they made the right call here. Like I'm very sad to see Jem go because I think she's a really fun character, but I think that that was the correct strategic decision, certainly for Charlie, but probably also for Maria.
Kelly, do you feel like that Jem misplayed this Beware advantage, not only by rehiding it, but if she would have gone to Maria, and I will find out when she does the exit interviews, if she did and gone to Maria and said, hey, Maria, I have the idol. We have the idol. It's ours.
Yeah. That's a risky thing though, because if you tell someone that you have an idol, there's always the potential that they're like, we have to get them out and flush the idol right now. So that is a little scary, but I think if you want to do this whole replant move, you got to have the people who you want to work with long-term in on that because it's such a complicated and sort of like, they were saying like, oh, this is such a dick move if someone has made us dig for 3 days. So it's like, if you're going to do that, you want your allies maybe in on the joke with you there. Otherwise, I love keeping an idol secret. I think that's like so, I prefer that type of gameplay. Like when Marianne, you know, kept it like secret the whole game and that was like super brilliant. But it does take a certain circumstance where you can pull it off. And if you're going to do this crazy hiding thing, I think telling Maria would be a good move. And it's one of those things where this tribe hasn't had tribals, haven't had any opportunity to prove trust. So if you come into possession of something, that is something you can use to build that trust. And that's something that I sort of regret not doing when I got the amulet. So perhaps that's why I'm thinking this now, but it could have still spooked Maria too. So it's hard. That's why it's a beware.
So I want to talk about Maria's relationship with Tim. We saw back in the first episode there was the parent alliance, mom and dad. Okay, Maria mm-hmm. and Tim. But then it seemed like, based off of what we saw in the edit, it seemed like that they got further apart and that it wasn't looking too good for Tim. But here tonight, we saw Tim go and call Maria basically his plus one, his closest ally. And so
I was surprised by that.
I was surprised by that too. And so it makes me feel like that either, well, is Tim maybe a little delusional or maybe a little played by Maria, or are Tim and Maria actually closer? And now that I think of it, I feel like a lot of the Maria and Charlie confessionals, I feel like have been from Charlie's point of view.
That's true. Yeah.
Are Tim and Maria closer than we've been led over these last 4 weeks?
And that's certainly possible because we haven't seen like a ton of Tim, but I also think he could be falling into this trap here, which there's something Mariah said this episode that I love. And she was like, well, this isn't a game of dibs, it's Survivor. And so it's such an accurate statement. It's so funny. But like maybe Tim is just sort of like, oh, I have this number, you know, the first person I talked to that I made this big bond with, of course, we're still so tight. Of course, we have this great thing in common. And thinking of it that way when it's like, well, everyone is probably having all these other conversations. If you are, and if you're not, you're already behind. So it could be that. But I think if Maria is an astute player, which I certainly think she is, she sees Charlie having his little kinship with Ben. She probably is like, well, let me have another kinship with somebody. Let me have an option. And I think it's probably part of her strategy to keep him a little close as well.
Okay, this is kind of like a big brain thought. So tell me if you think this might make some sense. Is it possible that Tim came back from the journey and told Maria about the big Q's big plan of basically like this is, and we'll find out from Steven tomorrow, like the modern day exile alliance of like, hey, it's us three. We all have a plus one. And now if you're Maria, maybe that's not ultimately what you want to do, but it sure feels like another really safe option for you in the post-merge game. And not even that Tim was going to be the person, but if you blindside Tim, it sounds like, wait, hold on. Tim just brought me into this big six-person alliance that he just set up. That's kind of a good spot for me. What's Jem bringing to the table?
That's such a good point. I don't know. I wish we got to watch like all 3 hours of the pre-tribal thing here, because I think there's so much we're not seeing. So interesting. But yeah, that would definitely be a good move by Tim. We have no idea. He seemed like he just told his tribe the truth about what happened and left out the alliance part. Are we going to talk about the journey? Because I was like so shocked they let those three guys all go together. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was interesting the way that it went down. So that it was Hunter, I guess. I don't know if he called dibs or whatever, that it was Hunter.
Yeah, he was like, okay, I'm going. And then Jeff's like, pick. The reward is to pick.
The reward is to pick. But then he threw it out to Sega and it's like, hey, does anybody want to go? And Tim was like, yeah, I'll go. And then it seemed like that Q was already next in line. So I don't think that they worked it out. But it seemed
like the other tribes decided. You know what I mean? Like they were like, oh, Q's going to go. I'm like, ooh, that was surprising to me. Cause like I was the person who was summoned to a journey on episode 5 on my season. And like, I had no say, like I would have never wanted to go. I was very anti journey, never wanted to go. Didn't want to risk my vote. Didn't want anything to do with it. Correct call, I think, for me. But I was surprised by how Nami kind of like didn't use that to their advantage somehow. And then it is, I mean, if I'm like looking at the three guys who are going there, what happened on the show, I would just assume would be happening. So that's a little bit nerve wracking.
These players, they didn't see your season, but they certainly saw Survivor 44. And of course, there's that great moment where Brandon and Danny go with Carolyn. And then it's like, you know, Carolyn is really feeling left out, where Danny and Brandon have a very similar conversation to what played out tonight. And you have to think that that's got to be on people's minds as they went. And I thought it was very interesting at Charlie talking about Sega said, hey, our tribe, like it's like we're all equal. We don't have a Q. We don't have a Hunter on our tribe. And I thought it was interesting that they've already like have these people carved out as like, OK, those are the leaders of those other tribes. But they had this moment. And like, I do think, I know it's probably not a popular alliance on Twitter of like, okay, Q and Hunter and Tim are going to run things. But if you're those three guys, I do think it's a very smart plan.
I do too. And you know what? Actually, I love, honestly, I know we've had a lot of Yanu in the last few weeks, but I think moving forward, these three are going to be some of the most interesting players to watch navigate the merge. I mean, they kind of remind me of like a devious version of the Chica 3. Like they're, it's like the angel and the devil, and they're like the devil emoji. And I mean that in a great way. I love it. So funny. But I actually like how Q played this, like the specificity. There's a lot of people I think go on these things and are like, oh, we're the big guys and we should stick together. And that's sort of where it ends. Like adding a layer of specificity, it's a little bit, maybe it could be a little bit of an overplay. We'll see. But I think it shows the other guys that he's like really serious and he's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they all have this mutual need to be protected, and nothing, in my opinion, bonds people together more than mutual need in the game of Survivor. So, I mean, this I think is hugely advantageous for all three of them, especially the two that just got to, you know, not risk anything and just go on a boat ride.
Well, especially for Q, that this was a really good move for him, because that normally we were looking at this last week and we said, okay, well, it's probably going to be, especially if Nami loses a challenge this week. Okay, Nami, and then we'll have Yanu. They'll team up against Sika. And that's typically what'll happen. And, you know, Mergatory is going to throw things off, and then the split tribal council. But usually the two tribes that have less get together and go against the tribe that has more. But now with Sika losing the challenge, it was going to be 5-5. And I guess there was a world where the two tribes of five could get together and say, hey, why don't we just take out the three people from Yanu? And it's possible, so it's possible.
I don't know.
You think, well, how do you think that the merge could go with 5-5-3?
I mean, is that the same as 44 was?
Was 44 the same with 5-5-3?
Right? Oh, well, they had a swap, fake swap. So it was a little complicated, but it's essentially the same beginning composition, right? Five Rajus, five of the green.
Yeah.
Soka. Yeah. Okay. And look how that went. I mean, I think
and they started off going after Jam Jam.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I we'll see. I think for me, when I'm looking at this, like I have a little bit more confidence in Sega trying to maneuver together than Nami. I mean, Nami has been like, their target is changing every week. There's a lot of dissension there. I feel like Venus is going to be itching to do something. We saw something in the preview. Yeah. Like he was like, she's saying some crazy stuff. So I think it's going to be another good episode, which I'm excited for, but I feel like the Yanu three are astute enough players to get themselves out of a mess here. But the way that the Mergatory challenge goes is going to be is huge. So it's hard to actually say.
We'll know so much more when we get to see the two groups of six.
They will always shake out in the most fair way.
Right. But also don't forget that there was the Banu bomb of that. Okay. Well, Q and Tiffany are a pair and Kenzie is the mastermind. And so there's a bigger target than normal than there would be for those three players. Also, as we've been talking about Survivor 44, the Tika three were so dangerous. And I think that there could be also a lot of
the whole season.
They saw the whole thing and they're like, hey, we got to watch out for these three. We don't want them to be the new Tika three. So that's another reason. So I think it was really good to sort of like change up the whole paradigm of like what's going on for Q to be able to have this other new alliance of six potentially that may, and maybe it's not the thing. I think it's like maybe a little bit like in Survivor 42 where there was where when they got to the merge, it was like, okay, well, we're the three people that have the immunity idols. And then there was also, you know, the people that had the amulets. I know that, was it called an amulet then?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So it was like a little bit of like the people that had stuff were sort of together. Yeah. And that was kind of like
you're the power players and putting themselves onto this line.
Yeah. And so that, you know, maybe there's like a new grouping that comes together when we get to see everybody together. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the journey, because I saw your tweet earlier tonight I could see it was a sore subject.
It's okay.
When we talk though about get people picking other players for going on the journey, I know you said that you got drafted.
Yeah.
Is that a conversation that the tribes have of like, okay, if we get to pick who goes on the journey, who are we picking from the other tribes?
You know what? I don't think we ever had that conversation, but I know that Reba was thinking about that. And there was like a disagreement a little bit amongst who people wanted to send, like see if we wanted Caleb to go. And Dee was like, no way. Cause she had already met Caleb and was like, I don't want Caleb to go. And so she's said to me, she's like, oh, I used the fact that you were like bummed out that you sat out the challenge is like just a great excuse to make sure that someone that I would rather go goes on the journey. And Dee wanted to go herself, but her and Jamie rock, paper, scissors for it. So, but I feel like, you know, that's part, like I said, it's part of the reward to choose who goes. And like that, look how great this opportunity was for Q. I mean, this is like a potentially, even if this isn't an alliance that sticks to final six, like if this alliance or whatever you can form at this journey keeps you safe for these first few like extremely perilous votes where everybody's freaking out, then it's completely worth going on this. You know what I mean? And so you don't want to just like hand it or like leave it up to the other tribes of who's going to go, I think, but we'll see. It ended up working out for Hunter pretty well, except for the,
well, except for not doing it. Yeah. So, all right. It seems like that also we like in all these new era seasons, like the last vote before Mergatory, we're going to get people going on the journey. Yeah. In 44, Carolyn and Danny and Brandon got to go have lunch. And then here this season, we got to see everybody who's the biggest Survivor fan. You'll do a puzzle, put the icons in order. Yes. Yes. But you, Kelly, that your journey was different.
Yeah, my journey was a little different. First of all, we hiked for like literally 45 minutes. I scraped my knee. It was actually, and we had to keep start, stop, and talk. Like it was physically difficult. And I didn't even do the challenge. I'm sure Jay and Austin were much more upset about it. I feel like my journey was an inherent disadvantage no matter way it went. I didn't want to go on it. And this is what it is. But, you know, I would have taken this one. I'm no Survivor. Like I'm a big Survivor fan. I'm a newer Survivor fan. I tested myself after watching this and I only missed 3 seasons. So
yeah.
Oh, poor Brandon Donlan. We're going to rename that the Brandon Donlan Memorial Journey. I think
he would have had this one. Yeah.
He would have had this one.
Yeah. Was this a fair challenge to do? Like, is this the type of thing? Like, I'm trying to like, we see all the people on Twitter talking about, oh my God, this was so easy. Mm-hmm. But okay, of the 18 people on the show, how many people do you think could have done it?
I actually think it's kind of a small number for 2 reasons. One, like you can be a huge fan of Survivor and not know like the order of seasons like Hunter's talking about. The other thing is you have to have a good memory. Like there are some people who love Survivor and have watched these seasons over and over again, but are they going to remember exactly what like, you know, one world is like, maybe not. So it's a combination 24. And you're exhausted and tired and haven't eaten. So again, it's easy on the couch. I feel for Hunter, but I think it's really like the Brandon Donlans of the universe who will like this journey, and everybody else is going to be super nervous. I asked Brandon Donlan, my 1-800, he's like my phone a friend, right? When I have Survivor questions, and they haven't done a Survivor trivia type challenge since Micronesia.
Yep.
That's crazy. What a time to bring it back.
What a time. Yeah. I mean, this was wild that they did do this. It did seem like that. I enjoyed it. Like, I do feel like that it seems like that they are trying to do almost anything to be able to like bring in clips from the past seasons. It seems like that they really have like leaned on that a lot in the last season or two. So, yeah. I don't know if it's sort of like, okay, this is the synergy of like, hey, oh, I got to get Paramount Plus so I could go back and watch that season where Caleb passed out.
Oh, I know. That was like some Michelle slander. It was like, winner, winner, winner. Yes. Caleb passed out. Yes.
You know, Co Wrong, the season that famously is when Caleb passed out.
We're lucky Michelle is otherwise occupied right now, or else I think Hunter might be hearing it on Twitter a little bit.
Sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me. Yeah. But It was interesting. You know, I feel like that from your cast, I feel like probably about 6 or 7 people I think could have gotten it. From this cast, I'm not sure if there's how many people would have gotten it.
Who? Jelinski.
Jelinski probably would have got it, but he would have told us he would have gotten it. I don't know if he would have finished it.
He would be confident that he would. So
he might have smashed the hourglass beforehand. But this season, I don't feel like that the people Unless there's somebody that I'm missing, I don't feel like that they're necessarily like,
yeah, I'm
as
not sure, like how much of a fanatic is
as some of the people from Survivor 45 were.
Oh, 45. Yeah, we got a bunch of nerds, you know, Drew.
Yeah.
Brando, Brandon.
Caleb.
I don't know. Do we think Caleb could do this one?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Maybe. He's a pretty big fan. He's a pretty big fan, but he's like me. He's a little more recent. But I think we both have a good memory. I think who could, you know, D wouldn't get this one, you know, but you don't need to know this to win Survivor. So
no, you don't. You don't.
It's all good.
Okay. Hold on. That Sam Moore saying Jelinski already tweeted about it and said,
There he is.
I would have gone for 45 out of 45 on logos. Okay.
The last five aren't so impressive, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would have been.
And you count.
I think Hunter missed Winners at War also. I don't think he had that. I don't think he had that.
I really hope you're joking.
I don't think so. How did you do it to say that you tested yourself?
Okay. So I didn't do logos because I was like, whatever. I just was like, can I write down all the seasons of Survivor in order?
Oh, in order.
And I named, I couldn't think of Amazon and I just wrote Rob.
Oh.
And then I wrote Amazon. So thank you, Rob.
I did get to impress my kids.
If it was me doing this, it would have been a Rob Sister Nino glamour shot across.
Yes, thank you.
Too bad for you and me that this didn't happen.
I got to tell my kids, I was like, you know, I could do that so easy. And my son was like, no, you can't. And my wife had to say, he can. One of the
few things. You are someone who definitely could.
I could. It's one of the few things I could, one of my few superpowers. That's it. Super very useless, power. Very useless. But I feel like that this is the one chance I could have made it work.
I feel like 47 and 48 players, they are nervous. They're like, oh my gosh, time to study because
better study. Yeah, better study. And that's what they got to do. Like they're putting all the casting. Like, hey, want to be on Survivor? And then they also like got to subscribe to Paramount Plus.
If you don't subscribe, you're gonna lose the game.
Yeah,
that is one way to drum up subscribers.
This is brilliant. Okay.
Yes.
Let's then talk a little bit more about Hunter. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting player.
First off, how many votes does Hunter owe Survivor right now?
Oh my, I was like losing track. I was like, so what, do we have like a negative balance in votes in Survivor now?
Yeah. What's the call here that Hunter already didn't have a vote and then
he lost
his vote?
I'm lost. Hunter's probably lost.
There
was a clause in the immunity idol thing that said, like, you can still get it. So is he going to go into the merge with no vote based on the idol and the Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But you know what I do want to talk about, Rob? I don't want to derail us too much. But
no,
before I went to play my season, you did a burning questions video about losing votes.
Yes.
Does it mean you lose the game? And a lot of times your ally goes home. But you talked about how Jesse and Omer went into their merges with no vote and how it was so advantageous for them. And then I saw Hunter and
this is my Roman Empire.
I know. You're like, it's happening right here. And I think this is someone who could actually really benefit from not having, I mean, he has to be safe probably because he does have this whole like threat problem. But if he can play this right, it could be good for him to not have a vote. It could be good for him to not have to show his cards, play into this Q alliance, play into Nami strong.
Yeah.
That's such
a good point. Yeah.
I'm very intrigued.
Hunter is in a really good spot. And, you know, I forgot to mention that. So one of the things that Mike and I were tracking in the preseason was that Hunter and Q both talked about like, hey, I'm from Mississippi. And I noticed there's another guy here that's from Mississippi. In Mississippi, we look out for our own, and that's Q and Hunter. And I do feel like that. And we said at the time, like if these two can link up at the merge, could be huge because they seem like they have each other's backs, just like sight unseen. They're from the same state.
Yeah. And it's like a state that you don't see on Survivor very often. So that's actually so interesting. I didn't even know that, to be honest, that they're both from Mississippi. So, and I, you know, that pregame stuff, it seems silly. And most of the time it doesn't come into play, but something like that is significant enough that it's something random to bond you with Emerge when everyone else you haven't met has literally nothing else to bond over. So I think, ooh, that's interesting. I'm very excited to watch Hunter play the rest. He's got a big target, but I've liked his, he's kind of like held back in important moments on a very personality tribe. So I want to give him kudos for that. You know,
was there anybody in the preseason from, I know you did the preseason twice.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I did.
43 and 45.
I did do it twice. Yeah.
Was there anybody either time that you noticed something about them and you said, okay, if I get into the game with this person, this is my perfect person.
Okay. So 43, I'm on the record saying that I wanted to work with Cassidy and Owen based on their, you know, whatever vibe.
Not just Twitter after the season. Yeah.
Not just Twitter. I know. It's just a coincidence.
That would be a very popular thing to say.
I said this the second that the game started. I said this to the, I have receipts if we need it. But I just thought, I mean, honestly, I misread Cassidy. Like, she was way more of an intense strategic player than I thought she would be. I just liked her vibe, and I didn't think she was like overly intimidating. I thought we would have things in common and we could get along. Owen was sort of like a little less version of Caleb, right? Her Caleb was kind of like doing this and looking at everybody. Owen was doing that not quite as obviously, but I always like people who like made eye contact and smiled and stuff like that. If people are already holding their cards so close to their chest, I was like, bruh. Gabler was pretty funny, I have to say. He was like, he was fraternizing with the Fijian workers. So that was giving me some alarm bell. It was funny. And my pregame, I don't know. I was just trying to observe everything some people were doing and thinking about what can I like have in common with them? Do you know what I mean? So like if someone wore a sports team shirt and I'm like, oh, they're from here. Like I can talk to them about this. Or, you know, okay, Brando was painting with his watercolors. Like I'm not an artist, but like there's like little things you pick up on to try to just like find, okay, what is my angle with them? That was how, because I like to play with everyone, Rob. So I wasn't really married to anybody off the bat. It's interesting though. I don't think it plays a huge role occasionally, stuff like that. I think when it's so specific, like I remember, Noelle, I remember she just gave off this vibe of like, she played sports in high school. I was like, this girl, like I would have played on a soccer team with or whatever, which was obviously true. She was wearing her like lacrosse shirts. And so that made me like definitely want to work with her for sure.
Okay.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So tonight we saw Hunter and Venus had a very interesting conversation.
They did.
Where Venus, it felt like, okay, well, let me go out and I'm going to speak to Hunter directly about he's looking for the idol. Yeah. And that she was getting on Hunter's nerves while he was looking for the idol. He point blank asked her if she was targeting him. And her answer was interesting. She said, no, you're a meat shield for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty upfront and honest from Venus there. I kind of where does she have to go from here? Like, obviously, she's had a rough go. No one's really talking to her. So maybe not beating around the bush and just being like, hey, you know what? Like, yeah, you're a big, huge guy and you're totally threatening for immunity challenges, but that doesn't bother me. I can see that. Maybe the execution wasn't as how I would want to do it, but I kind of said the same thing to Austin on a journey. I was just like, I feel fine working with big threats. Like, I think people are going to be threatened by me eventually. I'd like to keep you around for that reason. Like, we all have, this is something we have in common. Venus is taking a slightly different approach, but I get why she might want to say that. I think there might be a little bit more subdued way to do that. But yeah, interesting. It's kind of this Nami tribe is very funny to me. They are just a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, Kelly, I'm worried about Venus next week. I feel like that what we see when we get to the Mergatory, it's almost like that. Like, okay, which tribe has like an expendable number that they don't mind sacrificing?
Yes, I call them a sacrificial lamb sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm worried that Venus could be in that spot next week.
She could. Yeah. She's definitely one of those people who is in the hot seat there.
Who's going to bat for her? Who's saying, no, not Venus?
The only reason people would be like, no, not Venus, is because it's like, why? Why do you need to get rid of her? Unless you're Nami, especially if Venus is in the preview, they're like, oh, Venus is saying crazy stuff. If Q and other tribes think that Venus is going to tell them everything that's happening at Nami, are they like, let's get her out right away? Depends how fearful they are themselves, right? Because like at this stage, like the paranoia and fear is at an all-time high. So if everyone can just like dump on one person, then that's, you know, makes everyone's life easier and then we move on. And that's what happens a lot of these Mergatories. But I don't know if anyone would be like really, really, really jumping necessarily to get Venus who's not on her own tribe. But if they're going to throw the name out, sometimes that's all that it takes. Gabler throws out Ellie and that's who goes home. So it depends how much the other tribes are willing to throw their own members under the bus. Probably. I don't see Yanu doing that. Maybe Sika, but they're the vibe tribe. I don't know.
They're the vibe tribe. I mean, are they going to go after Mariah now? I mean,
it may be Mariah.
I can't see it. Like, I feel like that Mariah will reintegrate back into the group. I could see maybe Q trying to throw Kenzie's name out there potentially. Hey, let me show this new group that me and Tiff are loyal. We'll throw Kenzie out there potentially. And I could see that could be
I think the success of Yanu moving forward is like very dependent on how Kenzie acts at the merge. Obviously, I think Kenzie's a really interesting player and character because, like, she obviously has great social skill. But then sometimes it's like a little too much. And so I don't know if think she's going to be astute. I think she's going to be astute enough to not do what she's been doing. But who knows? If she overplays it here, then Yanu is kind of screwed. And then it's going to become like, can they save themselves? Because the other two members are very threatening players, like on paper, like Tiffany and Q. So I think it's better for them to all stick together, but it's going to ultimately come down to Kenzie's behavior.
Kelly, we've compared Kenzie to Caleb a little bit this season in terms of how extroverted and social they are. Do you see that comparison? Do you think that that's a good comparison?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The saying like, what y'all doing to everybody? I mean, it's not great. But the way she's approaching it, though, it's like the way she talks, you do feel like comfortable with her. So it's like, I think it can work in the early merge where, you know, Caleb kind of got exposed because he went on that Reba journey and did his Caleb thing. Yeah. So that all of Reba came in being like, oh, this freaking guy. Well, Kenzie hasn't really had that. It's up to Q and Tiff. Do they want that information to like go out? The worst that's happened is Bonu said she's a mastermind. Doesn't necessarily mean she's doing this social situation. I see what you're saying because of that, like got a little bit of a social overplay. I do think they're a little bit different players though. We'll see.
Okay.
Maybe Kenzie will get her shot in the dark moment.
Yeah. And don't forget that was when Caleb ultimately, you know, everybody came for him the first time was right at that mergatory. So, that's a spot.
But that was honestly player. Like a big reason of that was because Bruce, who was working with Caleb, kind of was willing to vote him out. Whereas yeah. So this is the same situation. Like
Q does that. Yeah.
Yeah. That Q's got a lot of power right here. I think that he's in a very interesting spot, like being such a big target guy, you think like, oh, this is going to be rough going into a merge because people will either do the sacrificial lamb or they're going to go through biggest target that's not safe. But if he's safe, especially, I think he potentially has some of the most influence to throw around for sure. But I also got to say, I love Tiffany's game. I think she's playing great.
Yeah, she's been in such a good spot throughout most of this game. She has the idol that we have not, she hasn't had to use it at all. So mm-hmm. I think that she's somebody who's going to be very interesting to watch post-merge.
Absolutely.
Let's take some questions from our listeners. We got a lot. You could still write in your questions for Kelly and I to answer here tonight. And so let's go back to Maria and the extra vote. Tara wants to know, why did Maria use the extra vote? I mean, you have the mergatory coming up. Mm-hmm. You also have the split tribal council, which is like the optimal time to try to use the extra vote when you get down to this group of six. What was she worried about here?
Well, I think this comes down to Ben and how he lied about his possibility or not of having a vote, which I actually thought Ben's lie here was excellent. That was one of the only like journey lies I think was like really good. And so maybe she was just worried that if he didn't have a vote, there's a possibility of like a flip or a tie. It does seem it's like a little unfortunate because I really would have loved to see Maria use that in the future. But that could be something that makes if Maria figures this whole thing out and she's like, oh, I burned my extra vote. That could cause some problems.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not Shannon and Gus when it comes to like figuring out the vote splits and everything. So what was it? Four votes for Jem?
Four on Jem and two on Ben. It was Ben, Jem and Mariah voted for Ben. Mm-hmm. Ben didn't vote. And then Maria had two, Charlie and Tim voted for Jem.
Yeah.
So it was like pretty unnecessary. Honestly, I don't know if I am a little confused why she used it at all.
If she trusts Charlie, like what was Tim going to do with his vote where it wasn't like that? Oh, he could put his vote on Charlie and screw everything up. So yeah, I don't really get it.
Talking before her confessional where she's like, multiple people have gone on journeys. Like there's so many moving parts heading into this tribal or is like, is a shot in the dark going to be played? If someone knows, like there might be an idol, there might Ben or may not have his vote. Tim could have lied about the journey and not have his vote. So like, maybe it's just one of those, like, I want to assure the vote is going to go my way situations, but yeah.
Maybe it was like, if there's some distrust with Tim and if Ben has two votes, then Ben's two votes plus Tim, they could potentially do something shady. I don't know,
or it's like the possibility that Tim is not telling her that he actually lost his vote or something. But
maybe she thought, okay, well, maybe Tim came back and he has an extra vote and Ben has an extra vote. Now those guys have four. Yeah.
Maybe like if everyone knows about Maria's extra vote, right? Like even other tribes, maybe she doesn't want to go into the merge being like, oh, I have this advantage, like trying to lower her threat level. That might be a little meta of Maria, but it's possible.
You never know. You know, I don't have to tell you, people are overthinking this stuff that everybody's, I'm not saying that you did that, Kelly, but I'm saying that all the players like are, you know, their brains are going like 200 miles an hour.
Yeah. Especially when you haven't like gotten the chance to play so much, you know, I think there is this concept that you hear players talk about where it's like, you're just itching to play. And so that can always come into play, you know, when you're making decisions like this in the heat of the moment, in stress. It's sitting right there in front of her, tempting.
Okay. Rainer wants to know, did Maria and Charlie make the right choice?
I think so. I think just because, unfortunately, Jem sort of like showed herself to be very like the way she, like, I mean, I don't think honestly, like, I really think Tim and Jem are bringing the entertainment for sure. Mm-hmm. I think how they both approached that conversation, it would, if I like saw them acting like this, it would give me a little bit of pause before working with them, just based on how she played it, that and that chaotic energy, that whole thing. I think, you know, Ben and Charlie did a good job sort of putting the target on, I assume, how this kind of got painted on Jem, just by like kind of being like, oh, have you noticed she's kind of chaotic today? Like, this is the energy she's bringing. So yeah. I think that like Jem is also someone, she's willing to do all this stuff. She's willing to rehide the beware advantage and have people dig for 3 days. Like, is maybe that's not the most trustworthy person, where Ben is now like pretty indebted to you. And I think Charlie made a great point about, he's like, what do you call him? His rock star shield.
Yeah.
Totally true. I
social
think,
shield.
You know,
yeah.
Ben is like out in front, most charismatic guy, blah, blah, blah. And he's playing a great social game. It saved him here. But Charlie is also playing a good subtle social game. I think the salsa dancing moment, yeah, really, it's silly, but it's like great. Everyone was like cracking up when Charlie's salsa dancing, and he's really endearing themselves, himself to them in like a very like non-obvious way. So, I mean, I think he did a good, I think he's better for Charlie. Maria, we'll see.
But Kelly, all that tribe bonding, and Sega was the vibe tribe, and they're dancing and they're having fun. And even at tribal council, Jem was like, are you kidding? This is the best tribe. We love each other. Yeah. And Jeff, I thought, was very astute. Says, sounds like somebody is in store for a massive blindside. And it turned out to be Jem. That, yeah. Do you feel like that? Is it too surface? Like, is that not good to be like, I don't want to say like toxic positivity, but something like, you know, is the tribe that is like keeping it a little bit more real actually better suited to go further together?
That's a good question. I think that maybe this is why this tribe needed this tribal council. You know what I mean? Without this, then they're going to be like Bella, to be frank.
Yeah.
So I think it was a good move for them eventually, Charlie and Maria, but like, looking at how it was, when I was thinking about tribal and Jem gives that answer and she's like, oh, you know, I don't even know who I'm going to vote for. Like, she's, the ruse is still going at tribal council. I think then is the time that you kind of need to pull that back a little bit. Because like Maria is like, oh, you know, someone, we all are going to vote some way. You have to separate emotions from game, blah, blah, blah. And she's saying like, it's very hard. But like, as I'm watching Maria say it, it seems like it's going to be easy for her, to be honest, which I thought was funny. But like, I think, you know, she, like Jem sort of keeping that up all the way till the end was actually not in her best interest. I think she was cooked by tribal anyway, but you know, I don't know. We're going to have to see how it plays out, because I think things are going to go one way and they don't, you know, the new era wants to go different ways.
It's the new era. Dangerous fun, Kelly.
Like, who thought, you know, a super tight alliance like the week before goes the entire way. Never happened before in new era. So I used to think so much about these patterns, and I still love them because I think it's so interesting. But I really thought there would be some like cross tribal 42-esque alliance format. It just didn't happen on my season. Maybe I think it might be more likely in a season like this because you've got this 5-5-3 split with no swap.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, this is a good segue to this question from Madison. What tribe do you think will do the best at the merge? I know we're talking about maybe some cross tribal alliances are going to be forming in the post merge, but do you think that there's one tribe of the three that is best situated post merge?
I don't have a lot of faith in NAMI sticking together. I think they have a lot of really interesting, cool players, but they, like, their target has flip-flopped all over the place. So I don't think that. And then the preview Hunter, I was like, oh man, I'm feeling for this guy. He's like, Liz and Soda can't stand each other. And he's like dragging his hands on his face. So the dissension is there. So I'm not feeling too good about them.
Yeah.
Maybe Ziga can do it, but I think Yanu, I think they can do it. I don't think they're going to turn each other. I think Tiffany really, like, what did she said something in the episode, like, these are my two closest allies. And everyone's like, oh, it was the last people left. But it's the people that she was close with on day one. They've stuck together. They both like her the most. So I think like it makes sense for them to stick together at this point. And so I don't see why anyone would be like, we have to get those three. But they're going to view them as the swings. And they're going to mm-hmm. be like, okay, who's going to pick them up?
I think if I had to answer that question, I think I would say Siga, just because I feel like, okay, well, you know, there's a Tim and Maria potentially in that six person alliance, and maybe they're going to be protected. But Maria, I think, is also protecting Charlie, and Charlie by proxy is protecting Ben to some degree. So at least that's four people that are kind of like maybe looking out for each other. And I don't know if I could say that about Nami. Like, I don't think that we get to four people looking out for each other at Nami.
Yeah, I kind of thought at the beginning that there would be, but then Tevin kind of turning on Soda out of left field, that is giving me probably, that's the thing that makes me the least confident, because I was like, that the core was Tevin, Hunter, and Soda, and then Liz, who was like, I think in the best spot, seriously, Liz, I don't think Liz is going to go home. She was cracking me up this episode. She was giving me a little Bruce at the auction money hunt vibes.
Yeah.
Everyone's like running for the idol. She's like, eh. I don't need it. I got enough.
I'm allergic to the idol. I'm not going to go look for it. But I think that Soda and Liz and Venus, I think that they're all in such interesting positions. And then throw in like Kenzie and throw in Mariah. Like, I feel like sort of like these women that are not included in this like six person cross tribal alliance. Like, it would be so interesting if they got like a sense of what was going on. But it's almost like that. And I know it's totally different circumstances, and I don't know if you're a Big Brother person, but it's sort of like, you know, if what is happening on Exile Island, it's a little bit sort of like the way that like the cookout was working,
where
and not necessarily that it was an all black alliance I'm talking about, but they all had like a secret partner who wasn't in the alliance. And so I don't know if that's what they're talking about, where it's like, okay, Maria, don't tell her that she's in the alliance, but we're,
I see. Okay. So
it's interesting. I don't know if those plus ones necessarily will know about the alliance or if you just all have your person and we're just controlling a vote. I don't know exactly how it's going to work.
It's a lot of moving parts. And also the thing about like Big Brother is like, you have so much time. Like when you're at the merge, it's like you get maybe 24 hours before you're doing the challenge and then voting. So figuring out all of that dynamic is difficult for someone like on the bottom or who's not fully in on all the information. It's like, I don't know how you have to be pretty, you have to be fluttering all around that camp and have no one getting mad at you for it. So I think it would be hard.
But we started talking about Soda. I'm so interested to know from you, where do you think that Soda goes from here?
I'm not loving Soda's chances, just because I think her and Tevin were like that was her best alliance. And now it kind of seemed like she, even though Venus was like kind of on the bottom forever, it seemed like last episode, if Nami went to tribal, they would have taken out Soda. Mm-hmm. So I think it just depends on how much of an asset does Tevin and Hunter view Soda. Like, is she a shield? Are they looking at her like Ben? And Charlie looks at Ben like, oh, she's a social shield, blah, blah, blah. Or are they looking at her like she's a liability because maybe she's going to go talk to too many people? Because that was sort of the vibe they were saying. It was like, oh, Soda's making inroads with everybody. And so, you know, she could be like a surprising sacrificial person at the merge, maybe, where it's like no one sees that coming. And she ends up going. I feel like Venus, like, I'm nervous for her. I'm always nervous for her, but she's kind of scrappy. And I think she's going to drop some bombs, and I think it's going to save her. But ultimately, the Meritatory is like, whoever's in that safe group, it is a huge advantage to be in that group. So that's going to be very, very important. Rock drop.
Yeah. Remind me, Kelly, you were not in the safe group, correct?
I was not safe. No, and we had a very uneven split. Remember, that's when I said everyone was a dude.
Yes. I remember.
I couldn't believe it. That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, my theory on the Mergatory has been that if you're in the not safe group, you can't be involved in the decision to send the person home. Like, don't say anything. Maybe even if you get pressed, don't give a name, but hopefully your allies who are safe are working hard on your behalf. Do you agree with that thesis?
I agree. And I think, I mean, I think you want to have kind of a conversation with your allies before the challenge of who are we saying at this, you know, feast, because we didn't do a great job of that. And, you know, Kendra was nervous about Caleb, which I didn't do a good enough job telling her I really wanted to work, that we needed Caleb. Right. And so then he's kind of on the
and
train.
And she was there on the other tribe.
Yeah. So, so anyway, you know, you definitely really need to agree on that. But we, like, some people did throw names at mine, but I did not. I didn't say anything because I was so nervous. Like I hadn't been vulnerable till that moment. I had never been to tribal council. So I was like, I better shut the heck up here and let someone else.
It's like
themselves targets at the merge.
Yeah. It's like, who does she think she is? She's thrown out names. It should be her tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, you run that risk. And then you're literally just, I remember Jake was like, we're just a couple ducks sitting here. Like, it's literally like that. You literally feel like you're like being lined up for slaughter. It's crazy. Everyone else is like eating, has their buffs on. It's really sad, honestly.
Okay. We got another question from Madison, who said, what do you think of Q saying that he might want to quit as strategy? This is, you know, at least the second time that we've seen where Q is talking about that he may want to go home. He tells us that it was just a ruse to mess with Kenzie, but they didn't go to tribal council. I was a little, unless they were just trying to fake us out of that, you know, this is what Q has up his sleeve. If they went to tribal council, I feel like we're getting this a lot though from Q.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, maybe he realized after he's said this stuff that he could use it as strategy, which is good. But I mean, I don't blame him like that. They've had a rough go and it's hard out there. That beach also is, I lived at all three Survivor Fiji beaches, and the Bello/Yanu beach has the least food, is the largest and most exhausting. Like, he's had a rough time, and that's when you need the fire on the most, because it's also the dampest.
Yeah.
I think he's just really depleted. I think that's why he keeps saying this stuff. But maybe the idea like came to him in like a dream or something to use this. I think it's a good, I kind of like it. It might be a little aggressive. It's like a high risk thing. Cause like, what if Kenzie's just like, he wants to quit. Like, we should just vote him out to everybody. Like, you always run that risk, but I like the idea of making Kenzie a little comfortable when Tiff and Q, like, I think are definitely the stronger duo in that situation.
See, this is where it's going to backfire, where, you know, last week we didn't have the vote for Banu, and then Q is going to go to tribal council like, you know what? I've accepted my fate. It's time. Just vote me out. And then Kenzie's like, all right, Jeffig, I think it's a foregone conclusion. We all are saying Q should go. And Q's like, but we should vote. And then,
I do.
No, I don't think we need to. I think we've already established Banu. We don't need to have a vote. Q, you can just leave. No, I would like to be voted out.
It was a weird precedent to set to let that happen, but hopefully no one in the future who's going to play like is really super impacted by that. I think that was a one and done type of situation.
That Q's plan could have backfired because
absolutely for sure. If he's going too hard and he tells too many people,
we don't need to vote. Q wants to leave. Like, well, I mean,
it's that whole scene happens. Was so interesting. That whole scene was crazy because, like, it's like Kenzie's astute to pick up on it, but then, like, kind of fumbles the bag
he's
after.
He's accepted so, I don't know. He's not quitting. That's acceptance.
He's accepted it. That was funny. I think Q is great casting. He's very interesting. He's like, the highs are high and the lows are low with Q. You know, he's living every moment out there.
For sure. Okay. Christian Hubicki is in the chat. He says, one thing that I can think of was to just get rid of the advantage so she'd be less of a target at the merge. But who knows? That's what you said.
That is what I said, Christian.
Yes. Brandon Donlin had said in the chat about that I would argue that all of the other challenges are not fair to me. So that was the one
absolutely
gimme for Brandon.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Anything else on your mind from this episode, Kelly?
I'm still so into that whole lost vote thing. I think you should bring back that series. But here's a question I want to ask you, Rob. I just realized.
Yes, yes.
Venus talks about how she knew that she was the only one who knew that Rand had left with the Beware advantage.
Yes.
What is her move there? Like, does, besides just trying to look for it herself, like, is there any upside to her trying to use this information to share it with somebody, like give her an in, or you know what I mean? Like I was wondering, I was like, this is the one little like nugget that Venus has over everybody else. Like how can she, or how could she have leveraged this to maybe like bring her standing up a little bit? I don't know.
I don't know if she could. What could she say? Like, hey, just so you know, I was really close with Randon and he told me he had the idol. And I didn't tell you then, but I'm telling you now. Like, I don't know if there's like a way that other there than like knowing, okay, it's back out there and that she would have the jump on them, but everybody's still looking for it. So like, I think that maybe she could have like maybe played up like, well, somebody definitely has the idol already, because I think it would have been found by now. And then she be the only person looking for it. But I think
she that did kind of do that, but they still didn't, they didn't seem to care. They were like, well, we're still looking. So I don't know. I wonder about that, but I crazy. I'm good for Hunter for finding it, though. I think he's gonna need that idol, I think.
Okay. Well, Kelly, we have here standing by somebody who is chomping at the bit. I'm sure he could probably at least put all the Big Brother logos in order. Taryn Armstrong is here. Taryn, how are you?
Astonished that we didn't see the Survivor logos get put in order. That's I'm upset about it.
Yes. Taryn, could you have done that?
Yeah. Rob, where am I right now?
Yeah.
We're having a competition. Let's do a live stream competition of all the podcasters.
I like the idea of like a Sporkle quiz being a Survivor challenge, though.
It's literally
it's pretty good. Yeah. How many logos can you put in order? Now, Taryn, so much has changed in the Big Brother house since a week ago, where suddenly surging hot Big Brother Canada.
Yes. Somebody has been killed. Somebody is the betrayer. Lots of high drama in the Big Brother Canada house. And we got an actual HOH result tonight. So lots to talk about on the podcast. Okay.
So listen, Big Brother Canada fans, stand by. Taryn is ready to go with the eviction recap coming up after we finish up Survivor Know-It-Alls. Okay, Taryn. So talk to you soon. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Kelly, let's see. Anything else from this week in Survivor? Anything? Final thoughts on the pre-merge? It was so much Banu.
So much Banu. But, you know, it's just like one of those. I feel like most of the new era, like so many times we have, like, for lack of a better term, like a disaster tribe.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it's a Buttman. Like, I would have never picked Yanu to be that.
No.
When I looked at them, I was like, oh, they look super strong. They look so strong. But I think it's hard to I think like I always wonder, like, would Jelinski have gone if they didn't go right away? Like, would they have seen some utility in him? And maybe they would have been better at challenges. Losing that first one, it stinks. Like, it's hard. It's hard to come back from that. It just makes you make some worse decisions.
See, I kind of feel like that maybe Jelinski would have been the right decision if they went to a later tribal council. I just think that, and I know a lot of people got upset with me for saying that, you know, I think you got to keep Jelinski if you go to that first tribal council. But I just think that it is such a, like, snowball avalanche of potential. You can't lose like one of these like big strong guys at that first vote because
that pisses me off, to be honest. Like, I walked into my season and watching 44 like filled with dread because I was like the smallest girl out there, and then I'm feisty, I'm scrappy, but I was in the pre-merge story, I was walking behind D and I saw her back. And it was so muscular. I was like, oh my God, I'm the smallest and skinniest girl here besides Jay Maya. It stressed me out. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I think that's true. Like, people are going to want to keep men. It's not fair. Yeah. And it's part of the downside of three tribes.
It's one. Yeah, of course. And it's like, okay, well, we can like complain about three tribes all we want, but that's if it is.
That's play in the game.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Let me talk about what else is coming up here this week on RHAP. Okay. Of course, we've got the rest of the Survivor lineup, including my conversation with Jem. Then we'll also have our Survivor Know-It-Alls with Steven. That's going to be at 4 p.m. tomorrow, plus everything else coming up this week. Make sure you subscribe to the Survivor podcast feed for that. Then later on tonight, or I'm sorry, on Thursday, James Wallington of The Amazing Race, winner of The Challenge CBS, is going to be joining Mike and Jess to talk about what looked like a very interesting episode of The Amazing Race tonight, where the Double Dutch crew wouldn't go down the stairs. Did you see the commercial?
Oh, yeah. Wait, I literally thought I was watching The Amazing Race.
It was a good commercial. It's like, yeah,
I was like, hold on. Did we skip through to The Amazing Race?
Yeah, come on. You could do Double Dutch. You could go down the stairs. No, he didn't want to. Find out with Mike and Jess and James. And plus, Jess is going to have an exit interview with the latest team kicked off of The Amazing Race. And of course, Kelly, have you watched Deal or No Deal Island?
I watched the first episode with a crew of Survivor 45 players in Miami. It was fun.
Yes.
I was a little confused about the rules at the start. There's a lot of rules. But it seems like it's had a good little pickup here. So maybe I gotta get
it's delightful. And we're covering it every single week with myself and Jenny and Chappelle on the Hit or Quit podcast feed. Check out the show and then check out the podcast. We're 5 weeks in of Deal or No Deal Island. Vintage Boston Rob.
I do love vintage Boston Rob.
Yeah. So we saw him in the episode tonight.
We did. Like, we saw Party. Like, we saw Boston Rob. We saw Kevin.
You gotta hustle if you want to make a dollar.
Players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, Boston Rob and a bunch of other folks on Deal or No Deal Island. And then a interview with a person that was on Australian Survivor. And if you haven't watched Australian Survivor, I won't spoil anything about this person. But Shannon has a very long interview with this smiling assassin, Ferris. Check that out in our Australian Survivor feed. Okay. And then, three body problem, full season recap coming up. Christian Ubicki is going to join Chappelle and Josh on Nothing But Netflix.
This is the Netflix show.
Yes. The three body problem, not the three tribe problem. That's our problem, Kelly.
That's my problem.
Yes. Oh. The three body problem. And we're not talking about Yanu. Check that out. Nothing But Netflix.
Oh, poor Yanu. We didn't talk about Sassy Jeff. Oh,
let's talk about it. All right. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcast feeds. Robswebsite.com/subscribe. Yeah, what a burn. That was mean.
I liked it, though. That was hilarious. But I think Jeff was like, he felt a little soft after us. And he was like, I got to spice it up.
No, Kelly, when Jeff got out the knife and everybody liked it, it was like, okay, you Sassy Jeff is coming back. I mean, 2 years ago. He never would have been like, oh, like Ua tribe, also known as the losers.
The losers. Mm-hmm. There's two new catchphrases for Jeff. It's the losers and sorry for you.
Yep. That's
part
of his hard edge in the new era.
Yeah. The dagger.
Yeah. Even my kids were like, oh, my God. Like, why did he say that? That was so mean.
Like, kick them while they're down, Jeff. My God.
Yeah.
Maybe he was feeling inspired by all of the trash talking on the mats before the challenge. There's been a lot of trash talking, you know.
Yeah.
But today Venus held the idol and safe and sound stayed right there.
Yep. And she got to hold it and nobody tried to take it away from her.
Earned it. She had that great, the slingshots are always fun. The cue slow-mo felt like I was watching.
It was a great moment.
Like a cheesy, like it was like Troy Bolton hitting the last basket in High School Musical, you know? Yeah.
It was a great moment. So congratulations to Yanu for getting a win here tonight. Can't wait to see what happens in Mergatory coming up next week. Kelly, what else is coming up for you?
I mean, not much. People meet me on the street. They're like, oh, are you still working as a nurse? I'm like, yes, I didn't win. So I am still a nurse.
Sometimes people find other vocations through Survivor.
That's true. That's true. Maybe if you have me on here enough, Rob, I can stop being a bedside nurse, but I'm finishing up my grad program in May and looking forward to, you know, watching the end of the season. Hopefully I'll be jumping on other podcasts.
Okay.
Get your What the Hell Guys merch still. If you're so feeling,
where can we get it?
KellyNalbandian.com.
Okay.
What the hell, guys? It's like a subtle nod. You know what I mean? There's two types of people in this world. There's Jem, who just walks out, and then there's me, who stays there forever. I didn't want it to end. Oh, God. But I love it. Jem, rip Jem. I thought she was so fun to watch.
Yeah. Okay. She YOLO'd it.
She did. Sometimes you gotta. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Maddie Pamela. I love it.
Yeah.
You need the spicy girls.
All right. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. You did a great job here tonight. Yeah. Really appreciate you making thank the time so to much. Talk about the episode. It was a fun one. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And I'll talk to you tomorrow on a busy Thursday. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.